Amen. You may be seated. And little ones, there is children's church, so little ones will want to go to children's church. And to the rest, good morning, Merry Christmas. And to those online, Merry Christmas to you also. Glad that you could join us this morning. I can't think of a better way to start the day than coming to the house of the Lord to worship the birth of the Savior. So thank you for coming on this cool December 25th morning. I was told this last week, or a week or so ago, it will be 11 years until Christmas ends up on Sunday again. It was 6 years going backwards. It's going to be 11 going forward. And I thought about that when I was told 11 years. I'm not sure we can envision 11 years from now. Some of us won't be here. Matter of fact, last night we had a beautiful night together, and the church was full, and I went home and I was thanking the Lord about that in time of prayer, and I was thinking, there was people here last night that won't be here next year. That's just the way it is. And so as I think about and envision 11 years from now, what will that look like in America? What will that look like in our families, in our homes? What will it look like here? And I guess only the Lord knows. But I have concluded this: today is a good day to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him. Amen. Last week's message, Casey spoke to us from the Word a couple things that I've been thinking about all week. When he said from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's Christmas. Amen? For God so loved the world that He offered to us, sin-filled human beings, His Son. That's Christmas. And I love John 1:14. So let me give you a little preface to John 1:14 first. John 1:1, you all know this. Let me just reiterate it. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. John, the gospel writer, is using this word, W-O-R-D, to describe Jesus. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's Jesus. And then in verse 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Hallelujah. That's Christmas. The Word became flesh. If you have a message translation, I gave one of my message translations to my oldest grandson. And so I don't, I still have one, but I don't read it as much as I used to. But I know what it says in this verse. It said, "God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." That's what happened at Christmas. And we can't really go a Christmas without reading some from Luke chapter 2. So I didn't get that chance tonight. I knew we had some wonderful readings last night. We had some wonderful musicians and readings and poems. And so we didn't read any of Luke chapter 2. So let me read just a little bit of it this morning, picking it up at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" Hallelujah. I don't know which angel brought this message. We know from Luke chapter 1, Gabriel, he got to bring a couple of other messages. Now there's another angel speaking to the shepherds, and he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And the angel continues, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's what the angel told the shepherds. If you were here last night, you heard Roy Bell in his poem elaborate on that just a little bit. And this, the angel said to the shepherd, shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, the Bible says, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Casey mentioned this to us last week. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them, that's the shepherds, into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, the Bible says, this is the shepherds, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Do you suppose anybody listened? When the shepherds had seen Jesus, the angels had told them, the angel told them, tonight there has been born to you in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. That's what the angel told them. And the shepherds went down to Bethlehem, and they found this babe lying in a manger. And the Bible says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they told people what the angel told them. The Christ has been born. The Bible says all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's Christmas. Amen. Casey mentioned last week the beautiful benefit of peace. The angels proclaimed that peace. And a couple weeks ago, I mentioned from Isaiah how Isaiah said he will be the Prince of Peace. I want to speak to the word joy just a moment. And I know at this time people say, you don't know what I've been through, Jim. You don't know how my year's been. You don't know what I've lost. You don't know this. You don't know that. I don't have any joy. Just listen to what the angel said for a moment. Do not be afraid, the angel said to the shepherds that night. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. We sing a song at Christmas time. It's called How Many Kings. I love that song. I love Christmas songs because, as Casey alluded to one last week, there's such rich theology. There's a message in these songs. And we sing a song each Christmas. It's called How Many Kings. And we sing in that song the phrase, is this who we have waited for? And think of the shepherds that night. They have this heavenly visitation, and he makes this proclamation. Oh, I bring you good news. They've been waiting for hundreds of years. Even when you go back to the Garden of Eden and you see the dynamics there, about the bruising of the heel and the bruising of the head by the heel. And you go into Moses and you see about the prophets. So for hundreds and thousands of years, the all of the Old Testament is pointing to this time. Is this who we've been waiting for? That's what we sing. And that night, the shepherds were told, this is who you've been waiting for. This is him. Hundreds of years they'd waited. And now the angels bring this good news of great joy. This is who you've been waiting for. That's good news, amen? The other day, a week or a week and a half ago, I was reading some online, and I came upon my good friend Sam Anderson, who's director of Minnesota Teen Challenge. He had put a quote on his Facebook page about this season. And here's what it said. I asked him if I could use a quote. I don't even know who the quote is from, but I asked Sam if I could use it. Here's what it says. If the good news that you have heard does not produce great joy in you, perhaps the news you've heard is not the authentic message. Let me say that again so you grasp that, because that's a powerful statement. If the good news that you have heard does not produce great joy in you and us, perhaps the news you've heard is not the authentic message. In other words, perhaps you've heard something else, because the news that the angels brought the shepherds that night is good news of great joy. And Sam, there's more to this quote. And he quoted that, and I think it's so profound. If this news, if this Messiah, this baby, this Jesus hasn't produced great joy in us, perhaps the news we've heard has not been the authentic message. Because when we have heard and partaken of this good news, of this great joy, of this authentic message, it will produce something different in us than has ever been had before. Peace that Casey talked about last week. A peace that surpasses understanding, and joy that gets us through the sorrows and the difficulty and the ugliness of life. This is good news. Like the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, and it shall be to all people. The quote goes on. The angels announced to the shepherds that they were bringing a message of good news of great joy that will be for all people. If the message of Jesus you've heard does anything but bring you overwhelming joy, then you are missing the message. Let me say that again. If the message of Jesus you've heard does anything but bring you overwhelming joy, then you are missing the message, because this message is filled with joy. The quote continues, perhaps what you've been told or what you believed about God in the Bible is fake news if this doesn't produce in us great joy. The message of Jesus, the Bible, and God's heart for us is one of pure love and peace and joy. Hallelujah. Amen? Oh, this is good news that the angels brought. That little quote that Sam had written there says this, and I want us to ponder this for a moment. Do you realize the baby? Do you realize the difference this baby, this incarnate God, makes? Do you realize the difference he's made in us, he can make in all of us? Jesus brings us, listen to these now for a moment, just ponder as I go through this list. Jesus brings us from lost to found. Amen? There's no better news. Jesus brings us from darkness to light. He brings us from hopelessness to hope. He's bringing us from bondage to liberty. When we surrender to Him and subscribe to Him and partake of Him, He brings us from oppression to freedom. He brings us from deception to truth. He brings us from blindness to sight. Jesus brings us from brokenness to healing, from wrong to right. He brings us from confusion to clarity. He brings us from evil to holy. He brings us from hatred to kindness, from chaos to order, from disorder to self-control, from angst to peace, from selfishness to generosity, from injustice to justice, from cursed to blessed, from death to life everlasting, from hell to heaven, from sorrow to joy. That's what Jesus brings. That's what He offers. This is what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world, He gave us His Son for this, to bring us from what we used to be to what we can be in Him. That's why the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, because I'm willing to bring you from lost to found, from sorrow to joy, from hell to heaven. That's what Christmas is about. For God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. You remember what the angel said to Joseph? I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. He said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take this woman for your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and He shall save His people from their sins. Is there any better news? Hello, are you with me this morning? I know it's cold. We froze up. We need a little something to warm up. This is good news. And that's what the angel said. I bring you good news of great joy. And the other angel that came to Joseph said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because what's conceived in her womb is of the Holy Spirit, and He shall save His people from their sin. That's what we need after all. We need to be rescued from sin, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it also says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life through Jesus. And so this is good news. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving up to check on my parents and just see how they're doing. And I think it must have been earlier morning, and I turned on the radio. I never listen to the radio anymore. I can't hear it. Doesn't matter how much I turn it up, I can't hear it. But I listened to the radio that morning, and it was Christian radio out of Pequot, and there was this pastor from Ohio or Indiana. I didn't know the man's name. But he started talking about this story that Paul Harvey used to tell every Christmas. And I used to listen to Paul Harvey. I remember listening to him when I was a bus driving as a kid going to school. And then when I was a little bigger, I listened to him. And I always thought, well, Paul was a man of God, but I always liked listening to him. But this pastor said at Christmas every year he would tell this story. And as I listened to the story, I thought, I never heard of that story. And here's the story. That this pastor recalled, but so did Paul Harvey, for many, many years at Christmas time. Maybe you've heard it. I never had. The man I'm going to tell you about was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. Generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, But he just didn't believe in all that incarnation stuff that the churches proclaim at Christmas times. He just didn't believe it. It just didn't make sense. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. Anybody hear Paul Harvey tell this story at Christmas? You have. Well, good. Some of you had. I never had. And here's how it goes on. So on this night of Christmas Eve, he told his wife, "I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm not going to church. I'm not going to Christmas Eve." He said, "I would just feel like a hypocrite, and that he would just rather stay home." But he would wait up for them till they got home. So he stayed home and they went to the service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. And then he went back to the fireside chair and he began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another and another. And at first, he thought someone was throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled outside miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large living room window. That's what was making the thudding sound, the birds hitting the window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures just lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter. All he would have to do is direct the birds into the barn. Quickly, he put on his coat, he got on his boots, he trampled through the deepening snow to the barn, he opened up the barn doors, he turned on the lights so the birds would know their way in, but the birds didn't come in. So he figured maybe food. Maybe food would entice them, so he hurried back to the house, he fetched up some bread, he broke it into crumbs, he sprinkled crumbs on the way to the barn, making a trail of breadcrumbs to the yellow lighted wide open doorway of the stable, but to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. The birds continued to flop about helplessly in the snow, so he tried catching them, but he could not. He tried shooing them to the barn, and waving his arms, but they just scattered in different directions, every direction except into the warmth, safety of the barn. That's when he realized they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I am just a stranger and a terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me," he reasoned, "that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? How will I do that? Any move I make just frightens them and confuses them, and they would not follow, they would not be led, they would not be shooed because they feared him. Then he thought to himself this, "If only I could become a bird and mingle amongst them and speak in their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. I could show them the way to the safety of the barn, to the warmth of the barn, but I would have to become one of them." So they could see, and so they could hear, and they could understand. And as he thought about this, at that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells. Listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas, and he sank to his knees in the snow. That's the end of the story, but I guess at some point The moral of that story is the man realized what God had done after all. When John 14 says, he became flesh and dwelt among us, the man realized, if I'm ever going to lead these birds into the safety, I need to become one of them. He realized maybe that's what God did after all. God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's what Christmas is about. For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. That's what Christmas is about. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas. Friends, if you're here today or watching online or listening online, I just want to ask, have you received the gift of Jesus? You see, we can talk about stories like this and we can read Bible verses all day long, and it will do nothing to just talk about the gift. You see, friends, God's gift to us is not unlike any other present that you'll get, in the sense that the present will do you no good until you receive it and open it. And God's gift to us is the same. It has been offered to humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. But the gift will do us no good until we receive it by faith and open it. We can talk about these stories all day long, but until by faith we have received Christ into our life, the gift does us no good. And so I want to ask us to think about this today. Have I received this most precious of gifts? Have I received Christ by faith? John 1:12, I don't have that one on the big screen for us, but John 1:12, I mentioned John 1:1 and John 1:14. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. To as many as received him, we must receive the gift by faith for it to do us any good. And when we do, all of a sudden there is a love and there is a peace and there is a joy that we never knew before. And so I just want to encourage you, friends, if you have never, Jesus is not a religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the Savior who became flesh and dwelt among us so we could see the safety of the barn. So we could come to him by faith and trust him and follow him and put our faith in him and be his children. That's what I'm talking about. Have you done that by faith? If you're not sure, I pray that you'll do it this Christmas season. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Now to close and get ready for our closing song, I'm going to mention this. I mentioned this 8 years ago at Christmas, and I know it was 8 years ago because we moved into this sanctuary 8 years ago last night. Some of us were there. It was a beautiful night. God favored us and blessed us with the new building. We moved in and it was packed. We had to bring in chairs to get everybody seated. And the Sunday that followed, a couple days later, I shared the story from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote he wrote poems, but he wrote the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And I shared it that day at that 8 year ago mark. And I know I did. I know it was that day because Dave Bushel sat in back row right back there battling for his life with cancer. Dave died a couple months later. But he told me between the day I shared that story and the day he passed, he said, I'll never look at that story again the same since I now know the story behind it. Casey talked to us last week about the story behind songs. There's great theology in these songs. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had lost his wife. She literally caught fire in their kitchen trying to cook. 1860. His son was in the Civil War and he got shot. And so he's thinking, and you will see this theology, you will see this message as we sing this song. There is no peace on earth, I said. That's in the song he wrote. There isn't any. But he heard the bells on that Christmas day. And as we sing these songs, the words of this song, look closely at the words, because there's a story there. And sometimes we may feel the same way. There is no peace. There is no joy. And then he heard the bells, kind of like the man in Paul Harvey's story. So as we sing this song together to close, look closely at the words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and that's what prompted this song, this poem that turned into a song. And ask yourself, do I really know the peace? Do I really know the joy that he offers? And I know, because I've seen the kitchen, I've seen the foyer TV that Jennifer has set up for us. All the people that we've lost this year, I know that. And God knows it. But as Casey said about the peace that Jesus offers, I'm telling you about the joy that he offers too. There's peace and joy when we genuinely know the Savior. In spite of the fog of life, in spite of the hurt, in spite of death and cancers and sickness and all manner of mayhem, there is peace and joy in Jesus. And on this Christmas day, if you've never experienced that, I want to encourage you, friends, cry out to Christ by faith. Repent, just admit you're a sinner, we all are, and invite him to come into your life and save you, rescue you, and put you on a path that is completely different. Let's sing this song together, and then we'll close in prayer. Look closely at these words, and if you've never trusted Christ, maybe while we're singing this song, now's the time. Let's stand together and sing this song. Let's pause for prayer. Thank you, Father, for this Christmas morning. The reminder that out of your great love you sent Jesus. He took on flesh to become one of us, to live and to teach and to die and to be resurrected from the dead for us. Thank you for Christmas. Father, we sometimes feel as Longfellow felt a long time ago. Hate is strong. Hate seems strong in America today that mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Help us to sort through all of that. When our life seems to be filled with no peace, no love, and no joy, help us to sort through all of that and come to Christ, the author of love and joy and peace. Help us to trust in you completely, Lord Jesus, this day and always. Help us to commit our lives to you and always follow you. Thank you for this Christmas. And for those that are hurting today, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Father, comfort them like only you can. Help them to be able to just rest in your peace and in your joy and in your love. Go with each one here today, Father. Help them to have a good day, a Merry Christmas. And for those watching online and those that couldn't come, watch over each and every one. Draw them close. Help us to trust you completely. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.